Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Alan Powell, and I have in front of me the brochure for the movie called The Song, Listen to Your Heart, and this is to open in theaters late in September. So we don't have a whole lot of movie stars on our show, and I'm sure our young listeners are pretty impressed with me right now, and I'm sure by the end of the show they'll be impressed with you too.
I'll do my best. I'll do my very best.
So Alan Powell, let's start at the very beginning. Okay. As a child, mm-hmm. How did your life set you up so that you could be propelled into this arena?
I'm a pastor's kid. My dad has been a pastor my entire life. He still is to this day, as a matter of fact, in Fort Myers, Florida. So I grew up in the church. I grew up around Christianity, and obviously had an eternal impact on my life, and I'm very grateful for that. But I've always grown up being a lover of entertainment. You know, specifically, I walked down the music road first, and still to this day I'm involved in music. And as far as moving into this, I mean, I've always had a passion for film and a passion for acting, and just began to cultivate that and try to get my skills at a level where if this opportunity or any opportunity came along, that I'd be prepared for it. And fortunate enough, I was living in Nashville, and I had an agent there, and this project came across her desk, and she sent me to the audition, and, you know, God just kind of orchestrated everything from there, and before I knew it, I was, you know, on set filming this, you know, movie, which was just as crazy to me as it would be to anybody else, so I was so blessed.
Your parents, what was their reaction as they saw the way God was leading you?
They're, you know, very excited and obviously supportive. It's been interesting to see. My mom showed up on set one day with her own, you know, camera, and we're actually filming, and I remember the director of photography, who's the guy who stands behind the camera and actually records things, kind of leaned over to me while we were filming and said, "Now, your mom knows we're recording this too, right?" you know, they're still, when they can, they're still front row at concerts, and, you know, mom showed up to the filming. It's you know, parents never stop being parents, you know. So it was a really cool thing.
I'm sure it was kind of a shift too from maybe the style of music they liked to the style of music that you were starting to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, different generations, obviously. Yes. And that's what's so interesting is when I send my dad the stuff that, you know, my band Anthem Lights is working on or whatnot, he always prefaces his opinion by saying, "Now listen, you know, I'm an old man, and I know you're not making music for me, so take this with a grain of salt, and then we'll proceed to give me his opinion." But they've always been good about being objective and realizing that they're probably not the core fan base for what we're doing. But this film is different, honestly. This is this was a departure stylistically for me, certainly. Jed King, who's the lead character in this movie, is an Americana musician, and I do pop stuff. So it was very much
okay,
a learning curve.
You're playing Jed. In the song.
Correct.
And just describe for our listeners the difference between pop and Americana.
Sure. Well, pop is a lot of the stuff that maybe you hear on, like, what they call top 40 radio, which is regular, you know, radio, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to describe it. And Americana, it's certainly growing in popularity these days with big bands like Mumford & Sons and the Avett Brothers and these kind of guys. But it all kind of grew out of really Western, you know, kind of old country music, which was interesting for me because I never really paid attention to that. But obviously in preparing for this role, I spent a lot of time listening to, like, Johnny Cash and the Avett Brothers and Hank Williams and guys like that, which was something I'd never done before. So it was really cool to be able to kind of broaden my horizons and found some incredible inspiration there. So it was a really cool experience.
Now, you mentioned Anthem Lights.
Mm-hmm.
This band, tell me a little bit about this, how this originated.
So Anthem Lights is a band that I'm a part of now. We've been together for about 4 years. We did our first record with Provident Records, Sony, here in town, here in Nashville. And it was a really cool experience to be able to work with them. And We parted ways from about a year and a half ago. We've been doing music on our own at this point. But we came together. You know, there's another guy in the band. His name is Chad, and we've known each other for a long time. Like I said, my dad is a pastor, and my dad became the pastor of the church that his family had been going to forever, you know, when I was like 14 or 15. So we've known each other for a long time and always wanted to make music together, and eventually it turned into, you know, what it is now.
Now, I know my young listeners are probably asking, how do you get the skills to do that, you know, to be in a band, to be a lead singer? Did you take a lot of voice lessons?
You just do it a lot. You know, I think there's this idea that you do something for 10,000 hours before you can be a master of it, you know, and yourself, who knows how many hours you've spent interviewing people or being on the radio. That's what you do, yeah. And that's what you're great at because of as a result of that. Is that something you were born with? Probably to some extent, but talent or whatnot can only take you so far. I think the people who are the greatest in the world at something are just people who do it more than the other people or who work harder than the other people.
Well, some people cannot sing on key. I mean, they can practice 10,000 hours, and they might be able to sing a little bit better some songs if they've practiced one song over and over.
And singing may be a little bit of an exception. I think that I certainly think a large element of that can be learned. But as far as musicianship goes, like some of the best instrumentalists that I know can't sing at all.
But
they're some
good
of the
rhythm.
They're some of the best musicians I've ever known. And I just think it's more, you know, hard work and spending time doing it. You know, I was 6 years old and got a drum set and drummed for hours and hours every day, and that turned into singing and piano playing, guitar playing. Just that's what I wanted to be involved in and wanted to be around.
So that answers my next question. What instruments do you play? So guitar, piano, drum.
Yep. It started on the drums and then started playing the guitar and then moved into piano.
I really would like to meet your parents.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome.
They're willing to put up with all that.
Yeah, they
drumming.
Put me in a room upstairs and closed the door, and then everything was fine. Yeah.
Yes, and you were a PK, so they had that. There's a special challenge for a person who is the preacher's kid.
I agree.
And they don't always get the attention maybe they need, or maybe they get too much attention. It's really a balance that parents have to find, because you're more in the light.
Right.
But with that, you know, it's almost royalty. It's almost our kind of royalty. With that, if you can get the responsibility and understand the responsibility that you have with it, and in your case, it appears that you have. So I'm talking with Alan Powell. He plays the part of Jed in the movie called The Song. Now let's talk about The Song. What is it based on?
The Song is based on the life of Solomon. Pulls a lot from Ecclesiastes, but mostly Song of Solomon. So it's really interesting. I mean, there's no better literature ever written than the Word of God, and there's no more interesting stories. So it was a pleasure to just be able to attempt to bring that to life.
And do you sing in there then?
I do, yeah. There's 11 original songs, a lot of which I'm singing, but it was a whole, you know, it was a whole different kind of singing than what I'm used to, you know. So that was interesting to kind of learn, but it was a pleasure. We had a great time.
How do you look at Christian contemporary music versus traditional? Have you ever witnessed the tension between those two in the ministries?
My sisters and I used to sing Southern gospel music in churches all over Florida and kind of the Bible Belt and whatnot. So certainly familiar with that. And then obviously moving into the CCM market when I got here as a Christian artist. So I've certainly kind of lived in both of those worlds. The difference is, you know, the music is different, obviously, but hopefully the heart is the same, you know, and the drive and the motivation is the same. And people's taste change, you know. Even traditional music was on the cutting edge at one point. It's just understanding that that's all subjective and that's all people's opinions. And people are entitled to those, and that's totally fine. I think things only get weird when people think that there's some sort of objective truth to the fact that this is the right music or that's the right music. It's very narrow-minded, you know, and you're not seeing the whole picture, you know, know that the music that you love and you think is traditional was, you know, cutting edge, you know, a century ago or whatnot, is important to remember. So I think as long as you have that mentality and that, you know, objective look and the right perspective, then, you know, we can all just enjoy the motivation behind any given genre.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, we're going to get into, I have a question about the neutrality of music and sound. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure and like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Will people still have babies in heaven?
One day, a group of men asked Jesus a difficult question. They reminded Christ of an ancient law requiring that when a man's brother dies and leaves a wife with no children, he's supposed to marry the grieving widow. Let's say, they suggested, that the man had seven brothers, and one by one each died right after marrying the widow. Then, they pressed, after all the brothers had married the woman and died, she dies too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Jesus answered their question, and yours. Are you not in error because you do not know the Scripture or the power of God? He asked them in Mark 12, verse 24. When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven, verse 25. So the answer to your question about whether babies will be born in heaven is no. But keep in mind another statement from God's treasure chest. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 NIV. As exciting as having a baby may be, heaven holds even greater mysteries and joys. If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Hi, I'm Wes Doffenbaugh, author of 21 Ways to Forgive. The first way to forgive is to overlook a matter. Then you don't have to forgive it because you overlooked it. The Bible says a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. The Holy Spirit asks, if a burning ember from a forest fire flies into an open can of water, what will happen? You say, it'll just go out. Yes, now if the burning ember flies into an open can of gasoline, what will happen? You say, it will explode. That's right. Now a burning ember of offense flew into you and you exploded in anger. What does that mean? You say, Holy Spirit, that means I was full of gas. That's right, friend. There is a toxic spiritual gas of pride and irritability that can fill our lives instead of living water. If you say, He makes me so mad, you're testifying against yourself. Ask God to fill you with living water so that most offenses just go out. You can contact me at encouragementexpert.com. Email me at encouragementexpert@gmail.com.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Alan Powell, and he was the lead singer in the band Anthem Lights, but he now is the lead actor in the movie that's coming out in late September called The Song, and it's based on the Song of Solomon. We'd been talking earlier in the show about the Christian contemporary music scene versus traditional music. I think I'd like to know your take on is music itself, take the words out.
Sure.
The sound of the music, is it neutral?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I actually think, I don't think it's neutral. I think that it's, anything that is created is created by God. I don't think that Satan has creation power. So he's given us the ability to create things. So to me, music in and of itself, if you take the words out and you're just looking at the talent of someone to come up with something.
Yeah, just looking at the either melodic line or the openness of it.
I think you're looking at that at a God-implanted ability to create something. You know, so to me, when I hear music, it's especially if you're going to take the words out, it glorifies a God who gave us the ability to do that.
Now, do you write songs?
I do, yes, ma'am. That's kind of how it all. I write. You know, so all the material
did you write some
Anthem
of
Lights.
The material for?
I didn't write the material in the song. There were some talented songwriters who submitted from all over the world for these tunes, and the best were picked. And it's a really strong soundtrack, and it was a pleasure to be able to sing these songs.
In the music for the song for this particular movie, as you're looking at, and you probably know the titles. Can you look at a particular title and say, okay, that one brings joy and it makes the audience want to dance with it?
Yeah.
And then that one, you know, maybe it's written in a minor key. That one kind of has a depressive sound to it.
Sure.
And then maybe that one creates, I mean, can you just take the sound itself apart from the words and make it have an angry sound or make it have a dissonant sound, so that, you know, you're kind of on edge. Is all of that incorporated into this movie's soundtrack?
And that's what music is, right? I mean, good music is when you take how you're feeling about any given situation, you're able to put it to music, and then you're able to affect the listener in such a way so that they know where you're coming from, and maybe when it connects with them, they can meet you there. That's what, you know, magic. That's the real magic of creating music. So there's certainly all of that. You know, when the character is going through something that's joyous, you know, and he writes a joyous song. Certainly that's, it wouldn't make sense for that music to then feel sad. You know, it's got to kind of marry. And that's what's made music so interesting.
Well, I mean, I have the questions because I know that they say music is neither good or bad, but yet music is so powerful depending on how the notes have been rearranged to either make us feel sad or to make us feel joyful or to make us want to get up and dance or to
Well, sure, but I think that there's a season for everything, right? I mean, it's not always good to be happy. It's not always good, certainly, to be mad or sad. Any given situation, there's, I don't want to say a right, but certainly an appropriate, it would seem, you know, emotion. And, you know, Jesus was angry when it was right to be angry. He was sad when it was right to be sad, and certainly happy when it was right to be happy. There's not a human emotion that is right or wrong. It just depends on how we react to that emotion or when we feel that emotion pertaining to what's happening around us. And that's the beauty of music, you know. It's the ability to kind of lead us into that emotion or help us to be able to express that emotion. So in a way, I see what you mean as far as it being neutral, but it's certainly not, there's not like a right or wrong. You know, it just is able to allow us to express any given emotion.
Now, when you were given this script, was there any hesitation as far as doing this movie?
Yeah, there certainly was. I mean, I'm married. I've been married for, like I said, I got to think about it. Hold on. Don't tell my wife I did this. 8 years. You know, we have two beautiful baby girls now, and in the movie, you know, he's married and just like the Song of Solomon, like he has an affair, he goes through some difficult times. So for us to protect our marriage, you know, in that realm, and not for the sake of a film or anything for that matter, not to put my marriage in jeopardy, there was some kind of lines that we had to draw and that the producers were willing to work with us on. And I can say quite honestly that we were able to film this entire film and this whole process without at any point jeopardizing, you know, my marriage or my wife feeling uncomfortable. And that to me is a very strong, and I'm very proud of that.
So is this going to be rated? Do you know?
It is. It's not rated yet, but it will be rated. It's a real story and there's real struggle. And it's interesting because I was talking to the director about this the first day we got together, and the first thing we started doing was working on the music. So we weren't filming yet, but I had obviously read the script, and it's, you know, there's a real struggle in it. And I remember talking to the director and saying, is there a, you know, it's, what's the situation with, you know, this real content? Are we going to run into problems? Because I know we want the Christian community to be, you know, behind this, but they may be used to, you know, some more straight line content. He said, you know, to me, here's how I look at it. This is in the Word of God. And if there's a pastor doing a series on the Song of Solomon, I think responsibly he would look at his audience and go, hey, we're going to really get into what God says in this book. You know, you may not want to bring your, you know, second grader to church for the next 5 or 6 weeks, or put them in children, because we're going to get into what God really talks about this. He said, that's the film that we're making. And I could totally get behind that, because we all deal with real things in real life. And this guy has real struggles and he finds real forgiveness. And that's what excited me about the film. And that's what I think came across in the end. Richie did a great job of maintaining that line. And so I'm excited to have been a part of that.
Yeah. Someone has said that the Song of Solomon, you know, is God's love letter to us. Do you think any of that could be construed from this film?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think the film is a picture of forgiveness. The film is a picture of redemption. It's a picture of second chances, and it's a picture of real love. That's what it's about. It's about what real love does in our lives, you know, specifically, because, you know, love is not this abstract thing that we hope that we can, you know, live towards. I mean, it affects our decisions. It affects the way we look at people. It affects how we treat people. And that's what this movie, that's the story that it tells.
So you're being propelled to stardom, and with it comes temptations, choices. And I'm sure you're thinking about that and putting things into place. Can you share with us some of the safeguards that you're putting personally into place?
It's interesting, because at first I thought you were talking about the film, which is exactly what he goes through in the film. So it was a really cool, you know, lesson. And it has nothing to do with, you know, stardom, but that's just in life. I mean, these are things, safeguards that we need to put in place. What I learned from doing this film, and I hope what people learn from and they take away from this film, is that fame is fleeting, but family is forever. Amen. And that's what I always want to remember. That's what I think and hope people will take from this. And that's certainly something that I take from this every time I get the opportunity to see a scene from it or see the whole film. You know, if you can look past yourself, which is very difficult to do, and it's your big face up there. But if I'm able to set that aside and just allow the story to impact me, that's what I'm reminded of every time I watch it. And I think that's what the audience is going to see as well.
Well, I just appreciate so much you spending this time with us. We're coming to the conclusion of our show, and I just wondered if you could share, if you have a kind of a verse or your own little personal mission statement that you often refer back to when you just have a question about something.
I'm a simple guy. I like to think of things very simply. And when Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain, I refer back to that often. You know, we get caught up in a lot of things, you know, in life, whether it's opportunities, trials, all sorts of things. And bottom line, to keep the perspective that while we're breathing, it's about Him. And if we're not breathing, we're with Him. So I love the simplicity of that. And I'm constantly using that as motivation through the day, or perspective or encouragement or whatnot. So I would encourage anybody listening to take hold of that.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
And I have one last thing to say, and that's keep learning.
If you missed part of today's show, you'd like a copy for yourself or to share with a friend, then please go to our website, lifetalk.net, and click the podcast page. All of LifeTalk's live interactive talk shows are posted on our site and are free for you at any time. If you don't have an internet connection, or you just want a compact disc of today's show, call 800-775-4673 with your credit card ready, because you'll be asked for a small donation to help cover our costs. Also, we'd like to hear what you thought of today's show. Please send us an email, include the title of the show on the subject line, and send that email to office@lifetalk.net. That's office@lifetalk.net. You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.